Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Becoming a parent is a wonderful, tumultuous, and at times overwhelming experience. But how does it impact your relationship with your partner? In this episode, we reflect on the transition from being a couple to being pregnant and then having a child. We discuss the identity shifts that come with parenthood, the importance of finding time for yourself and as a couple, and how to avoid turning into co-workers running a household together. The panel today is made up of Manel Bourcaibe, Global Head of B2B Marketing at Deliveroo, and mother to Ryan, 9 months. Vic Goodchild, accessory buyer at Oliver Bonus, and mother to Riley, 9 months. Helen McDermott, lawyer and mother to Satanta, 9 months. You listen to the podcast To Become a Mother, and my name is Caroline Johansson. Welcome, everyone. Welcome, Manel. Welcome, Helen. Welcome, Vic. Starting with you, Manel, I wonder if you could tell us a little bit about when you met your other half, about that meeting and what it was you fell in love with.
Okay, so I met Tim, my husband, in September 2015. We met a random night at a friend's living party. It was Thursday night, I think. And I remember we came back home at probably 2 a.m. But that first time we met, we were just friends. We were both in a relationship at the time. So just kind of like a friend crush almost. You said, wow, I really like this person. The fun fact, so on that night, we pretended to be married couple. The very first night we met. Can't remember even, you know, how this started, but it happened. And we started going out together a year later. And from the very first night, I found him incredibly fun, very charming, interesting, and sociable. So I really like this. And yeah, since we met again a year later, then we never really left each other.
Oh, that's very nice. And how long were you together before you then decided that it's time to start a family?
About 3 years. So he proposed 3 years ago. And when, you know, we were initially planning a wedding, then COVID kicked off and we decided that we'll put wedding plans on hold. And we knew we wanted anyway to spend the rest of our life together, start a family. So just moved on to the baby phase.
Very nice. And how was that new transition into being pregnant? How did that change? I guess you had been in a long-term relationship for quite some time when you became pregnant, but was there a shift or a change in terms of your relationship?
Yeah, I guess. So before COVID, we had the busiest time in terms of traveling. And I think we were away almost every second weekend. So we did a lot as a couple and had a lot of fun. And the transition was quite brutal in a way that we're initially planning the wedding, so another big party. And suddenly when we decided that the wedding would not happen, we started planning for a baby. And at the same time, we also bought a house and we did a full renovation 6 months before giving birth. And we actually got in the flat a week before I gave birth. So all the pregnancy was all about making, you know, a new home for our baby. And we changed completely our lifestyle in that year, but we knew that we always wanted to also keep that life that we had before, soon as the baby would be a bit older, so essentially now. But yeah, it was really a lot of planning actually and getting things ready during pregnancy.
So it became a very I guess, a practical time to get things sorted. Turning to you, Helen, so can you tell us a little bit about when you met your other half?
Yes, we met about 5 years ago online, and I had just moved to London from DC, and I didn't really know many people in London. So what else would you be doing but going on some dates? I went on a couple. I know some days I went on two, like I go for coffee and then out for a drink in the evening, but it makes me sound terrible. But I met James. So we were chatting for a while, and then we met in Soho for cocktails, and we went for dinner and just chatted for ages about so many things. And I really liked him because he was, I wasn't quite sure. I knew he was very interesting and very interested. Interested in everything. Like, he asked so many questions, like really personal questions as well, like at the start, and I never really had that. And I used to be quite, I suppose, a closed person, but you know, he just really probed, and I found it refreshing. And so that was our first date. He was the only person I went on a second date with, and I was actually his first online dating experience. So he's like, any single friends I have, James is always like, you know, I don't understand why people are just, you know, why people are still single. Like, why can't they just find someone? And it's like, do you realize that, you know, it takes a lot of effort? You were just lucky or unlucky. I don't know. Maybe he just settled early. But yeah, so that was our dating experience. So we stayed together, and it's about 5 years ago.
So 5 years ago, and how long time before you then decided to have a baby? Yeah,
I was thinking about this today, and I don't think we ever really decided. We were dating for about 3 years, and then we got engaged. And similar to what Manal said, we were planning the wedding. Wedding looked not to be happening because of COVID. And so I'd never even thought about, we both talked about having kids. It was never something that I really like dreamed about or, you know, ever really thought about. But we did talk about it. And then when we weren't getting married, we just said, maybe we'll start a family. And we didn't really talk about it very much. So it's kind of whenever and it happened, we were very lucky and it happened quite quickly. And I don't think we were expecting that. So it was a bit, I remember whenever we got the pregnancy test, and I had done a pregnancy test, and it was like a really very faint line. And I remember just think, like, we talked about it, and it was like, nah, couldn't be. Like, it just really couldn't be. And then ordering more of them, because again, it was during COVID. So I remember ordering some from Amazon, and the one that actually says pregnant, not pregnant, you know, yeah, not just a line. And I remember getting up at 5 a.m. because you're supposed to do it in the morning, because that's when there's the stronger whatever is in hormone or something that brings up that line. And getting at 5 a.m. and then going into him and being like, yeah, that's it. And even with the faint line, I just didn't contemplate we could be pregnant. It was just so surreal. But yeah, that was it. Then we were pregnant, and it was,
And how did things change?
So like Manel said as well, we did everything together. We would exercise together. You know, we used to surf together. We would always be like looking for new things to do in London or places to go and things like that. So, but I suppose COVID changed that anyway. But yeah, so how did things change? While we were pregnant, we had a lovely pregnancy because it was lockdown. So we were both working from home, and we like took pictures and found it great, like the belly getting bigger and everything. But then the baby was due in July, and in June, like Manel, we decided to sell the flat, because it just occurred to us, like, maybe it's not such a good idea living up four flights of stairs with no lift. And it was only like we were, 8 months pregnant, and then being like, maybe we should move. Like, maybe we should think about moving. So we sold the flat and then had nowhere to live. We stayed in the flat because we were able, thankfully, the people that bought it rented it back to us. But we then had to find somewhere to live, and it was extremely stressful. And we're only coming out the other side of that now. So that changed our relationship a lot, because we were just quite scared and you know, trying again to plan to like what the right things to do were for this new baby coming, and how we were going to manage such a massive project, which took a lot longer than we thought, and, you know, become parents.
Yeah, I guess it's like the first huge project you're undertaking together. The
first
fact
two
you're,
huge yeah, projects.
Yeah, two huge, yeah, at the same time. And yeah, everyone seems to be doing it at the same time.
Yeah.
And so, Vic, can you tell us a little bit about when you met your other half?
So I met Jack, my husband, I was trying to think, it's either 11 or 12 years ago in November. So I think it's 12. Actually, it was on bonfire night at a rave in London, in a smoking area, like the real traditional old school way of meeting. And I just remember that night, I was just like having the best night of my life. You know, like sometimes you just have a great night, like, and you're in a really good mood. I was like in that place and I met Jack and he just walked past me and I immediately was like, I like him. And I like tapped him on the shoulder, like this is such a cringe story. Put the lighter in my pocket and was like, can I borrow your lighter? And anyway, gave me the lighter. We chatted. We kissed at some point. So it was all like quite, I feel like in my mind, I'm like, it was love at first sight. But obviously it wasn't. I was saying, like, I was like dating lots of guys at that time. I even like had a date the next day that I like ended up cancelling. So yeah, so we met that evening and then we just kept on partying all night. It was a firework night. And yeah, and then we were on the tube and he, just remember, he basically got up and gave me a kiss and said goodbye when I was on the tube. And I was like, that's really nice. You know, like not many guys that I know, he, you know, very chivalrous and like just really sweet. And he even texted me to be like, I hope you got home okay. And that sounds ridiculous. But I think he was like one of the first people who I genuinely felt like cared, and you know, there was no game playing. He was just like, are you okay, did you get home all right? And I was like, yeah. And then just didn't, it was just dated for a couple of weeks and then that was it, really. We were just together. Yeah.
So 11 years. And when did you decide to then start a family?
Well, I don't know. I feel like we must have always like known that we both want to start a family because 11 years is a long time. We didn't get married until like maybe a year and a half ago. But yeah, we just like had so much fun together, like festivals, holidays. We went traveling together. Like we did all these fun things, came back from traveling, bought a house. And then we weren't even actually going to like think about having a baby. COVID happened. And then the same, I was like, we were like, oh, we could have a baby. And I think I just kind of stopped using contraception. But anyway, then I ended up getting pregnant, but then sadly it didn't work out. So, you know, we had a miscarriage and that was really sad. And I think that both shook us into being like, this is something we really want. And before then, we weren't even really that sure about it.
And so when you then became pregnant.
Yeah, it was a weird one because the initial excitement of the first time round, like I think I had a panic attack the first time round in a good way. So then the second time round, I actually did a pregnancy test and it was negative. Yes. And so I thought, basically we were like, oh, we got married and then we were like, this is literally like 4 months after having the miscarriage. We rushed to get married just before the second lockdown. And then luckily just got pregnant really quickly, but the test said negative. So I was like, oh. And then actually it was just so early that it doesn't show up. I don't think a lot of people know that as well. Like it takes a while for it to show up. Anyway, so yeah, so those feelings were kind of hard because you're just so excited. You want to be excited, but then you can't let yourself get excited.
Yeah, I think a lot of people can relate to that. The anxiety with being pregnant and the excitement at the same time.
Yeah, so it's weird. Our pregnancy was strange because, you know, most people hate being sick and all of that. But for me, I was like any feeling sick or, you know, anything that indicated being pregnant, I was just like embracing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how did then your relationship with Jack transition when you became pregnant?
Well, I was thinking about this. I felt like because of what had happened, Jack just became such a he cared for me. You know, he was just so sweet and, you know, constantly like looking after me. And actually thinking it's quite like to admit, like I think through pregnancy and even like after the first 3 months, you're still being looked after, aren't you? And then things change and you're kind of like, oh, well, I'm not being looked after anymore. Like, this is a strange feeling. Yeah, I don't know.
Can you guys also relate to that?
Yeah, until you get massive and then you start getting looked after again or getting seats on the train.
Yeah, so I think that bit for me was like, difficult. But so, yeah, being pregnant was I really enjoyed it because I was just so happy.
And Manel, when you then had Ryan, and the first time, the first period after that, how did your relationship with Tim evolve during that period?
So I ended up having Ryan with an emergency C-section. So the birth was not really as I had planned. And Tim as well, during the whole pregnancy, he was very caring. And I think with that experience, he was ever more caring and super helpful through essentially, I mean, the first few months and even after. But after the birth, I felt a lot of support from him, which was great. And I think what helped a lot as well was the pre-birth. Obviously, I met a lot of wonderful parents and before birth, and he was very involved in, you know, learning how the birth would be, what to do before, after. And so I felt like he was prepared to deal with any situation. And after the birth and the way we wanted essentially to manage everything together, we decided to really split all the responsibilities, but also share, you know, what we would like to do more of or less of. And I think naturally we found, you know, the perfect, at the beginning, split. He didn't want to deal with nappies at all. He just can't deal with it. And I actually loved every single nappy. I was just like, this is the cutest thing. So things like that would be like, you know, okay, that's fine. I don't want to deal with the bean after. You can deal with that. And that's just an example of how little things were easily managed, because we're just kind of, you know, letting the other one deal with it. And obviously, a lot of moment was tough, particularly when, you know, the first phase of a lot of caring or so passes. And then it's more like kind of life as usual. And I felt like before he actually really got involved 100% into looking after him, I don't think he appreciated how hard it was to look after Ryan. Mm-hmm. And particularly as the building works were still going and he was heavily involved in the building works, managing it, probably at some point he felt like he was doing a lot for the house or so. And he didn't think that looking after a baby was actually, you know, very like energy consuming, yeah, as well. And he appreciated it when he actually had to look after him, you know, for a full day or a full night. And I think that was the beginning of a better balance as well, yeah, between us.
Helen, how was your experience?
Yeah, so we also had a section, and I remember, like, I had the baby bag, everything packed. I had like four different kinds of nappy cream, nappies. Like, was so organized. And James wasn't really, I mean, that's not his thing, you know. He wasn't really part of all of those preparations. But the one task I gave him, I remember, was to do a playlist. So for the birth, because I was very anxious about the section, and it was a planned one, but super anxious. I'm even getting anxious thinking about it now. It's just so strange, right? You go in the taxi and you know that, like, within a couple of hours, there's going to be three of you. So yeah, that was his job. I can be a control freak, so I didn't look at the list, anything. But when we got in there, it was all very tense. And I remember he started this playlist, and it was like someone else's playlist. So he had just gone onto Spotify and typed in a birth playlist. And
I hope it wasn't mine. Mine was hilarious.
No, yours was better. So it was like every song had baby in it, like the word baby, and it was mostly 80s. And I remember I was, because once you're numb, and I started to panic, and I remember saying, I'm not okay, turn this stuff off, like in a little bit more flowery language. So he didn't know what to do. And my blood pressure went down, and they had to like give me something to zoom it back up again. But he just played, so we have a song that we had picked that was going to be like our wedding song, which wedding that we didn't have. So he just played that on repeat throughout the whole procedure, which isn't that long anyway, but it was quite calming. And I, to this day, I haven't been able to listen to the song because I know I'll get so emotional. But anyway, so that was just that was kind of as the baby was coming out. And that was good. Then we got home, and it was a rough period because James had a couple of, the baby came out on a Tuesday, so he had the rest of that week off. And then he was finishing up a project at work which had ran over, and they were trying to get it finished, so it meant very long hours. So he was working late and not from home for the first maybe 8 weeks, which was really hard because the baby was, so the first 2 weeks are like nice and the baby's quiet. And then the baby just woke up and had like extreme colic. I think the GP referred to it as. He was, so that was really hard because I didn't feel like I had his full support and he couldn't support me like throughout the day. And it was quite difficult and it caused a lot of tension between us. I don't mind saying because I've said it to him. But I remember like saying to him in the car one day, you know, I can't do this anymore. Like I need you to be back early. Like I understand it's important, but I'm just not able anymore because I don't have any family in London. So I did feel quite like, you know, I have this little baby and nobody to share all of that crying with. So he did make an effort and he came home earlier. And so that eased it up a little bit. But it's just, yeah, it was quite difficult. And it was quite difficult on our relationship that, yeah, not to feel resentment towards somebody who can go away to work during the day and then just come back in the evening when it's almost time for the baby to go to bed and, you know, deal with those nice parts. So, yeah, the first while was very challenging.
And I guess, at least for me, I remember thinking when my husband said it's a lot of work for me as well. He used to say when I complained. But in my mind, I was always thinking, but you can leave. Yeah. You can get up and leave. Mm-hmm. I can't. And I feel like that's, for me, that was like a big difference. So I know I can understand how you felt. Vic, what about, how was your...
I was trying to think. Oh, it feels like so long ago. And it was 9 months ago, but so much happens, isn't it? I think initially, it was good because he had took like 3 weeks off to be with us. I mean, he admits he was a bit bored because he was literally just bringing me cups of water and making dinner and cleaning. So I think he just felt like he was a bit being the kind of like, and I was like breastfeeding on the sofa and just remember sort of just sitting there. So that bit was kind of like nice. He was still looking after me and things. And I think, yeah, like I said, I think when kind of going back to work, when he went back to work and you're like on your own, that's the bit, yeah, where you just feel, quite like lonely or just, yeah, everything's all of a sudden quite intense. And then and things slowly sort of go back to normal. Yeah, they kind of forget what it was like looking after the baby for those 3 weeks. So as more time went past, I think, not like the worst, but the tricky our relationship sort of has gotten. And we're just at a point now where we're like rebuilding our relationship kind of back together to where it was, because initially you've got this baby, you're in this like bubble, he's working, you're working, he understands, you were both, you know, you're arguing at 3 a.m, like there's all of that going on. And then there's just like a bit of a period where like they kind of go back to their lives and you're like, oh no, I'm still dealing with all of this, I think. And then I then kind of got a bit ratty, like I get a bit like cross. And I think I used to take a lot of frustration out on him, like probably really quite unfairly, I guess. But at the same time, I think that's the trouble with relationships. And it's like you say, just being with two of you looking after a baby is that, you know, that person does become your sort of go-to for like, crying and moaning and being annoyed, even though you're sharing your anger. I think there are times where obviously we share our, I say anger, but like frustration, because it's frustrating, but you also share your love. Like it's, you know, not all bad. It's a lot. It's amazing. But I do think it's a roller coaster, I would say. A roller coaster.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Yeah.
And it's something I experienced is that when you have the baby, suddenly the to-do list of the family enterprise is just huge. Like there's so much more to do, so many more tasks, and therefore so many more room for argument. And how to divide that up in an equal way, I think, can sometimes be difficult. And you touched on that earlier, Manel, about, you know, respecting each other's tasks and finding a balance. And you said it happened quite naturally.
I think I've been very lucky in a way that he managed to take 6 months off. So we both had essentially a completely equal, you know, part in it. And we were together for 6 months looking after the baby. So that helped obviously a lot. And during that time, we managed to travel as well. And so it wasn't the usual, I would say, for 6 months, but it's something that's becoming, I think, like more like that the shared parental leave, at least for some companies, is starting to be more common. And I would encourage here any new parents to really look into the policies in their company, and because it's not something obvious. He works in a company that offers 2 weeks of paternity leave, but if you look at actually the shared parental leave policy, then if the woman gives up some months of the 12 months allowed, then the father can take this. And that's what we did. So I think this obviously helped. And the fact that, you know, apart the fact I was breastfeeding, so obviously I was waking up more at night or in the morning, but during the day we could really split that. And we had the ultimate test when we went to Australia. We were quarantining in a hotel room for 2 weeks. We could not leave the room. And we essentially split the day, you know, I had the morning, he had the afternoon, and splitting everything. So it may not work for everyone, but for us at least, it was kind of like a relief. When, you know, I had the afternoon, I knew I could do everything for anything for myself and didn't really have to think about, you know, looking after the baby. And that now that I'm back to work and, you know, we have the evening. So it's just, it feels that it was lucky because I just can trust, I trust him fully. I don't have to think about it. And this was only possible because, yeah, he did it.
Yeah. No, it sounds really good. And Helen, what about you? Do you have like a tip for how to split up the task between you?
No. So just to do it, because otherwise you end up like me. We've never had that conversation about how to split up the tasks. Unfortunately, I think it was because of the house renovation and because you have the baby coming and the way the baby was, that it was just an awful lot. And James finishing that project. So it was just, I think we were kind of in over our heads and still probably are and are trying to muddle our way through it. But James is always very good, really brilliant with all the housework and cooking. He's definitely better on all those fronts. But with the house renovation, I took on an awful lot of that because I was there. You know, I had, you're seen, even though you're managing a baby or looking after a child, you're still the one that's home and that's able to take phone calls. And you're always available to let an architect in or you know, let. So a lot of that, I think, fell on me at the start with the baby. And it's probably why there's so many problems with it that we're now dealing with, because you had a new mother trying to handle a house renovation. But that's fine. So I think, we didn't. And then the baby, he was quite difficult at the start. And I was breastfeeding exclusively. He, and still am, he wouldn't and doesn't take a bottle. So, and never liked to sleep. So unfortunately, I could never be away from him. Like, you know, I would express I had a stash of milk in the fridge, but or in the freezer, but it's all since been thrown away because he would just not take the bottle. So it meant that James's life could, to a certain extent, resume. You know, he could go out in the evenings and things, and I couldn't. And I suppose sometimes I might get angry about that. However, it wasn't his fault. I mean, that's just what the baby needed. I mean, I have been away from the baby maybe for more than, well, never more than probably like 3.5 hours, I think. And like, I remember one evening going out and like the baby had to be fed to sleep. So nobody should follow my example. I know that's not good, but that's just the way it is. And I co-slept with the baby as well. So I remember going out one evening, it was just for a couple of hours for work drinks, and coming back, and it was probably like, 10:30 and James and the baby were up watching Martin Scorsese movie, a black and white and very violent drama, you know, because the baby wouldn't go to sleep. And he's like baby likes black and white, you know, because and so he did, because that, you know, for sensory purposes, they love it. He was just glued to this. But moral of the story is it wasn't necessarily possible for us to divide up the chores considering the needs of the baby at that time. So, but I definitely think it's a conversation that should be had before going into parenting. Like, you know, what are your deal breakers? You know, do you need to, you know, if you need to go to the gym or the things like that, to work that out beforehand, because otherwise it just turns into a tumbleweed and you're all wrapped up in it and it's too difficult to untangle.
I agree. Even though I think many people will have to reassess their non-negotiables when the baby arrives. And Vic, how do you guys divide the tasks up?
So from early on, I think from 2 weeks, I was lucky enough that he took the bottle, because at that point, and I can't believe in my mind, those 2 weeks felt like an eternity. I look back down, I'm like, that was 2 weeks. So he took the bottle, so Jack would take him in the evening so I could go to bed early. And like that for me was like the best relief, like just to have those moments that early to bed, like to bed, even though we're going to be woken up at 12. But so I think, and I like my sleep. So that was, yeah, that was great that he could do that. But I think like the general jobs, like we didn't change too much. Like he still takes out the bins and I still like tidy up. Like him, I'm lucky, like Jack's very, you know, he cleans and cook, like he's a very good husband in that respect. Like, and I don't have to ask him. He just was brought up well. So yeah, I think my lucky stars, but I think definitely the sharing of the feeding. And I do think a lot of my friends would say that their husbands maybe take the baby and they have a bit more time to themselves. And I would love to do that, but I actually really enjoy spending time as a family. Like there's been so many times I'm like, right, I'm going to go downstairs and do my own thing. And I just end up hovering around because I'm like, well, not probably a control freak thing, but not, but just wanting to be there. So I don't think like to give yourself a hard time if you do end up sort of doing that, because it's still nice to kind of be spending that time together.
100%. I can definitely relate to that. Yeah. And also when you go through this period as a parent or this journey in terms of becoming a parent, your partner will inevitably see you at quite vulnerable moments. I remember when I came home from hospital, I had a C-section, I was bleeding, and I had to ask my husband to change my pads. And I was thinking, you know, God, that's such an act of love, what he's doing. But at the same time, will he ever look at me the same way after seeing this? And so there was a question in my mind as to whether going through all of this can bring you too close. What are your thoughts about that, Manel?
I think so. The fact that we can, you know, get pregnant, have a baby, our whole body changes, and it's a huge thing, obviously, on the woman. And I think what comes with it as well is like some stuff that we don't really appreciate about, you know, things that we'll be doing or so. And I will openly share that. But for me, it was particularly after the C-section, a lot of wind. So it's something that my husband is completely, you know, disgusted about. And I am as well, but you can't really help it. There is a lot of, you know, air in your stomach. And that, I mean, for me, it was like, oh my God, like we, you know, sharing that, moment on the sofa or so. And I don't even notice myself. Yeah. So I'm just like, how, you know, this, and it lasted for, you know, a few weeks. And I think the fact that, you know, I was pregnant, holding our baby, all of that was still in his mind, probably like in a separate case, or like just it was pregnancy, it was just the way it is. And I think he was just, you know, going along with it. And any essentially thing that could happen because of the baby, the pregnancy, like for example, for you changing your pads. So I feel like it's just part of this whole thing. And I kept telling him, you know, it's just not me. You know, I would not do this kind of things usually. But it's just that, you know, you have to be part of it and be accepting and, you know, be open about all of that, because, you know, I don't like it myself and we just have to go on with it. So I think it was, yeah, asking as well on my side for him to be very open, accepting, to be patient and to know that at some point things will go back to normal. And I think it's important to remind them as well that we are the ones who have everything changing. We have to deal with it. We have And they just have to accept and, you know, be patient. So not always easy, obviously, but I think with time, you know, we tend to forget anyway all these kind of things that are not specifically pleasant, but... yeah, we have this kind of thing. The women obviously forget about like the pain and all that. I don't know if men forget about this, but
it's like, and they do.
Yeah, they probably do. Yeah.
Helen.
And being very vulnerable a number of times and things happening that I would have preferred James not to be in the room for. So even before the bit, so even the section, I said James loves photography and loves videography. So in our birth plan, it was, you know, my partner will be holding a camera and wants to film and take photos of this whole thing. So seeing it afterwards, I mean, there's some photos of my innards and everything. So that, and even being on the table, and I remember the woman saying, are you okay for us to, they put something up your butt, you know, while you're, I think it's for pain or something. And I just remember thinking, oh my God, like I can't feel anything, you know, and he's standing there beside the bed and all of this is going on. And you just feel so vulnerable, like with no clothes on and just this sheet and, oh man. But I mean, James would think this is wonderful. Like he thought, you know, it was the best experience of his life and he wouldn't bat an eyelid at it. So thankfully he doesn't get ewied out whatsoever. But even yet after the procedure, I didn't appreciate, you know, there would be so much blood either. And I remember standing up, you know, they said, you know, you should get up and walk around now. And there was like pads on the bed underneath me and they just like, you know, fell off. And I hadn't realized, you know, I got quite a fright and James was obviously there with me. But yeah, I mean, he's been fine, really supportive. Like we laugh about like one of my boobs being bigger than the other still. And the way that he's looking at my thing.
That happened to me too, don't worry.
And the way that they spray, like he's been sprayed with milk before. And yeah, so I mean, did it, it definitely makes me feel less attractive because your body is like that. You know, you're walking around with sore boobs and swollen boobs and you know, really comfy baggy clothes and like you have night sweats at the start and you just feel sticky and everything. I remember having to get James to my C-section, the scar, one side of it, they obviously needed to open it a little bit more and like tore it a little bit, and it got like a little bit, it didn't get infected, but it was seeping a wee bit, and we had to I couldn't bring myself to look at it, so I had to get James to take photos of it, you know, to send to the midwife and to put Steristrips on it and things like that, so and check in on it every once in a while. So yeah, I think that brought us a lot closer, not intimately, but just as appreciating each other and me appreciating him for being very patient and supportive and him appreciating me for the damage our relationship has done to my body.
I think you're raising a really good point about the way they look at you, and you might be really close, but it's not intimate necessarily. And I find myself during maternity leave that just finding time or just getting into the headspace of romance with your partner, even though you're really close, can be quite difficult when you are like in your leggings and dirty top and breastfeeding and whatever. How do you guys feel about that, Vic?
I'd say the romance went firmly out of the window for quite a long time, because in my mind I was like, I've got no time for romance, like there's too much going on. And yeah, like I say, it's only really like now things are starting to get back together. But I do think that's that. I was thinking, because when you first have the baby, you're going to bed in the dark, you're creeping in because you don't want to wake the baby up. So there's no time to like pillow talk. Yeah, those times that I think emotionally you need to connect before you can physically reconnect. And for a long time for me, I kind of felt like, and Jack probably agree, like you don't get the emotional part together. Obviously, you're going through this experience together and that's bringing you closer, but the chat, like the talking and things like that, and just the touching, and yeah, and your everything is going to the baby and so them as well. So I think for a while that kind of does go out of the window. But I think like we went on a date like about maybe 4 months after he was born, and I definitely didn't feel myself on that day at all. I was wearing like a dress that I just now look back and thought, oh my God, I can't wear that. I was wearing that because it was way too short and it hardly fit me. But in my mind, I was like, I'm going to wear it. I tried like three dresses on and Jack's like, you look great in all of them. He told me one of them I looked frumpy in. But yeah, so like going on dates, I think has helped. And now we just sit on the sofa and like we're starting to cuddle again more and, you know, starting. And when the baby goes in their own room, you start talking again, you go back to bed together again. And that brings you closer again. I think it's a journey back to the romance. Yeah, just talking more, I think, is key. And we had a nice holiday. I think that really helps, like bringing you back together, you know, see each other half naked again in a bikini. And like you get like, it all comes back.
But Manel, you guys were on holiday, so I guess is romance might have been more about around the corner than if you'd been in London.
Yeah, so we traveled to Thailand for a month and then Australia for 2 months. And it started when the baby was 3 months old. So it's true that this definitely brought us back much closer, maybe faster. Mm-hmm. We also went to Australia to see his parents and they were, you know, pushing us to go even away for a week so they could have the baby. And it's true that very quickly then we could, do things together again and have a moment, just the two of us. And it's really helped us, you know, connect again as a couple, not just as parents. And yeah, that was very, I guess, helpful. Talking about holiday and being together, I think something to note is that obviously you go away with a 3 month old. You think that you could go back to your old holidays and still go out when we were a month by ourselves with a baby in Thailand, do things. But actually the reality is that you can never go to the beach together because one of the parents have to be with the baby. Any location, so in Thailand, we're just looking at locations close to an airport, a hospital. So it's not like, you know, what you imagine of going into like a remote island for a month. And then everything has to be practical, you know. At that point, at around 4 months old, I stopped breastfeeding. So in Thailand, the tap water is not drinkable. So you have to really organize about how, okay, I have to boil the water. So every single feed was actually a challenge. And in terms of splitting the task, I was maybe feeding the baby, but Tim was cleaning all the bottles and doing all of that. So that was also part of the way to kind of make it be more enjoyable. But yeah, I agree. I think at some point, just even when now with the baby, just communicating, spending a bit of time together when we can definitely helps to, you know, trying to get that romance back.
Good. So just to wrap up, because we're coming to an end, it would be really nice if you could just give a tip to all expectant women out there, or maybe women who are thinking about having a baby, something they should know before they go into it about how it might change your relationship.
I can just start by saying that I don't feel qualified to answer that. So I'm looking forward to your tips. But I do think it's important not to compare yourself. You know, everybody's relationship is different. And I know from being, friends with other mothers and things, and people talk about their births and they talk about even their mental health and things like that. And we can talk about these things and relate. But we don't really talk about our relationships that much. And I think that you can never just assume, you know, that everyone's getting on better than you are. And yeah, just try not to compare, because if you do, you might be very blue.
Yeah, well, I was going to say my tip would definitely be honesty, about how you're feeling. And I think going into pregnancy, yeah, you kind of got to be honest with your husband about how that is affecting you. That's one thing. And then even afterwards, like, I had quite bad anxiety, and I think had I have not been like honest with Jack, and you know, even recently, like, said to him, I'm feeling this way, it's not about you, you know, like, I might have reacted in a certain way, but I just want you to know it's like not about you, it's about this, what's happening for me. And so rather than him getting cross with me or like starting an argument, like, he can kind of understand why I'm feeling the way that I'm feeling rather than getting angry. So yeah, I think just talking about things and being honest is definitely the way to go, because it's not like before you had the baby where you could just, I don't know, like sweep it over your shoulder, carry on, go and have a nice dinner. You know, you can't put things in a box and you've got a baby. I would say you need to talk about them.
Yeah, I think joining all of your points. And I also think really trusting the dad and the dad trusting the mother, because I think even if you're connected and all of that, we will always do things potentially differently, and accepting that it's not always your own way, that there are different ways, and to be fully, you know, trusting and saying, okay, you do it this way, I'm sure it's good enough, and not trying to kind of really control everything, because I feel like obviously both parents will read a lot about things and they may have different views, but just accepting. And I think maybe sharing a tip I got actually when we got married from a friend, so I think it also applies to parenthood, is that from the moment the baby is born, you're in this together and you either win or lose together. So it's kind of like communicating and finding, you know, a way out together. And otherwise, it's just, you know, a nightmare anyway to deal with. So yeah, I've said communication as well is really important.
And with those very wise words, we're coming to an end with this podcast. Thank you all very much. It's been such a nice discussion. I've learned a lot and recognized a lot. So thank you very much for sharing.
Ever Googled your own name? Prepare for a shock, because your personal info, including addresses and phone numbers, is out there, especially with the recent hacks at some big phone and healthcare companies. But here's where Aura steps in. Aura scans the dark web for your sensitive information and sends real-time alerts. Aura also actively requests that your information be removed from data broker sites, putting you back in control. Aura provides you with a complete online safety toolkit, credit and transaction monitoring, a secure password manager, a privacy-enhancing VPN, parental controls, and more. Try Aura risk-free with a 14-day trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety. Rest easy with Aura. Visit aura.com/safety today.